It is that time of the week where we put our educational hat on and talk to Professor John Fischetti. Good morning, John. Great to see you again.
Hey, Mark. Good to see you.
Look, there's an interesting thought process out at the moment about the different about how moving and movement can actually help us learn. How does this actually work?
Well, Mark, I'm looking for answers, not just identifying problems in education. And one of the things that we've been able to find, and some of our team here at the University of Newcastle on, is how to integrate movement into the traditional school day, which might be based on a passive sitting and listening mode most of the time, at least as it was for you and me.
Look, I first thing I thought of when you mentioned this was being in high school and you'd have that double lesson, usually of maths or some subject that you didn't like, and you'd be sitting there for 80 minutes in the chair. And by the time you got halfway through, you just needed to take a break. But this is pretty much exactly what you're saying to a greater extent.
Well, in years 5, 6, 7, 8, when you're growing literally during that same 80-minute period, it actually can be painful to sit passively. Plus, cognitively, we turn into almost lobotomized beings because our brains turn off. So with the current research that's led by a man by the name of Professor Chuck Hillman, who was on campus last week, did an amazing public lecture. We had 100 people from around the community come and learn about what happens when they map the brain scans, the PET scans of children who are doing physical activity inside of maths or reading or other lessons, both in the early primary, later primary, and secondary schools, and how their actual marks in math and reading and their long-term retention actually increases.
Which is mind-blowing, isn't it? Because you go to class, you sit down, and you sit down, and you're sitting longer. But we're saying that get up and move around. If we could somehow integrate that in formally, that would actually be to benefit to students.
So there's two ways to do it. One is prior, because we get about an hour of residual following exercise, and then also during. So I'm not talking about taking a stretch in the middle of a boring lecture. Stand up. I'm so boring, I'm going to stand. Oh, boy, you feel better. No, I'm talking about
people like you would get upset if that happened.
Integrating it. Oh, I would resign. But we have to integrate it purposefully. So there's math lessons all around the Hunter now being taught today with teachers who are building in movement, not just go take this piece of paper to this other side of the room, but having the geometry or the algebra or the computing lesson integrate the connections of the movement. In addition, we found that just even like during the NAPLAN days we're in now, if prior to the examinations, students get their heart rate toward a target zone, 10 minutes after that to 1 hour, they get full brain firepower. And then after about an hour, we tend to get back in that boring mode. But what we're seeing schools do is to divide maybe break periods during the day, building in double blocks of physical education, integrating the curriculum differently so multiple times in the day you get active. And children are not only enjoying that, they're doing better in their academic classes. This is a situation where some schools are doubling down on math and reading and remediating, and other schools are not lessening it, but putting in more movement and actually getting better results.
How would we see this in some of the exams? Because some exam periods can be for hours at a time. Is there a way realistically to put that in there somehow?
Yeah, we're going to need to propose to those that implement them much more breaks and much more movement, much more opportunities to take in water. But the key is getting your brain on fire. That's what we know about the neural pathways, that what we are basically billions and billions of neurons that are connecting and firing. And when they're not, we're basically not at our best performance. So most of us, when we get excited, it's because of our passion. And we'd like to be passionate about our academics, but we can't in isolation from actually our human need to move.
Mm. And there are some other applications as well, if you think outside of being at school, but perhaps if before you do some homework at night or before you get into some serious study, get out and go for a walk as well.
I think parents who are listening might really want to take it on board that even early evening, even as it gets dark early this time of year, we really want people to build in movement into their evening routine. It could be a simple walk with the puppy around the block or a family conversation where you get up and move in a well-lit area. It's really crucial that movement's brought in. And if your child is unfit, which over 30% of Australian young people are, it doesn't take as much to get them moving and getting benefit. So what Professor Dave Lubins and his team here have found is that the least fit students benefit the most by short-term intervals of exercise. So if you're saying, well, we're never going to get to that till Saturday, how about this evening you get out with your child and take a walk, discuss the day and enjoy each other, turn the television off?
I'm actually a bit confused if I'm talking to our education guru or the 2NURFM fitness guru this morning.
I think they all interconnect.
They seem to. John Fischetti, we'll all get up and go for a walk. Thank you for your time with us this week.
Thanks, Mark.
2NURFM 103.7.